Today's Daf Yomi is Daf Yud Dalet in the Gemara in Shabbos. And we begin about 8 lines down or so from the top of the Amud. We had begun yesterday a discussion of the 18 zeros that were made in favor of Beis Shammai over Beis Hillel. They were Marbe, the Talmidim of Beis Shammai over the Talmidim of Beis Hillel in the attic of Hananya ben Chizkia. And the first 10 of those zeros were discussed yesterday, somewhat short and brief, but we'll now go back and discuss them in more detail. So we begin, it's actually 7 lines from the very top of the Amud, with the statement that we learned yesterday, Ochel, Ochel Rishon. If a person eats, Ochel is over here, I'm eating, the person who's eating, Ochel Rishon. Ochel here the second time means a Maichel, so a person who's eating a food that's Tomei on the level of Rishon, that was Gzera number 1, or for Ochel, Ochel Sheni. If a person eats a food that was Tomei on the level of a Sheni, so we said in this situation, there's a din that this person is given rabbinically the status of being a sheni, and if he touches truma, he will be posel the truma. Now, normally, ochlin umashkin cannot be metame odom v'kelim. Foods and beverages don't have the power to be metame anything other than foods and beverages. They can't be metame odom and kelim, a person or vessels. Only an avatum can be metame a person or vessels. However, midirabbanan, the rabbi said that if you eat a ochel that is a rishon, or if you eat an ochel that is a sheni, you become tamei midirabbanan. Why? My time goes with a rabbanan tuma. Why did the rabbis institute this rabbinical tuma over here? So the answer is as follows. The zimnim, the ochel, ochlin tumein. Because sometimes a person is going to eat food that is tamei. Now that normally wouldn't make him tamei. But at the same time, the shokil mashkin the truma, he's going to drink a glass of wine that is truma. And now the glass of wine that is truma that is able to become tamei from the ochlin that are in his mouth. Vishadi lefume, he's going to put it all in his mouth, upasaluhu, and he's going to take this mashkin and it's going to now become tamei by coming into contact with the food, because by truma, a sheni can make a shlishi. So therefore, in this situation, the rabbis will go there that the person himself is going to make the truma into a shlishi. Because over here, the food could make the liquid into a shlishi on a daraisa level, so therefore the rabbis will go on the person as well, that he would be posel the truma. So that's gzeres 1 and 2 from yesterday. The third gzeres was shoseh mashkin tumeim. If a person drinks mashkin that are tumein, we pointed out yesterday, it doesn't make a difference whether he drinks the rishon that are tamei mashkin or sheni that are tamei mashkin, he becomes a sheni. Why is that? My taima, gozu be rabbanan tuma. Why did the rabbis institute in this situation tuma on the person as well? So the Gemara gives a similar teretz. Dezimnim deshoso mashkin tumein. Because sometimes he's going to be drinking a glass of wine, not truma, but wine that is tumei. Vishakli ochlin de truma, he's going to take food that is truma, vishadi lefume, and he's going to put it in his mouth, and it's going to come into contact with the wine that is tumei. Upasluhu, and the wine that is tumei, which is tumei on a sheni level, it's going to make the food that is truma posel. It's going to make it tamei on the shlishi level. So therefore, the rabbis would go there that if you drink over here mashkin that are either rishon or sheni, you become tamei as well. So Gemara says this is exactly the same thing as the first two. Gzera number 3, that if you drink the mashkin that are tmein, you become tamei, is exactly the same thing as if you eat mashkin that are tamei, you become a sheni tuma. Hainuach. Why did Gemara have to tell us both cases? So we have the girsa that we have in our Gemara, then we'll have a girsa that we have in the Masoras HaShas. So Ma'al Detema, I might have thought if we only had our Gemara over here, I would have said, HaShchichei V'halo Shchichei. Our girsa of the Gemara is that eating foods and then taking a drink with them, that's very common. But taking a drink and then deciding to eat with it, that's not common at all. So on your own, you might have not known that the rabbis would make a gzera over here for the liquids, kamash v'lan, that the rabbis even made a gzera over here on liquids that are tamei, that you may come to eat solids with them. That's the gesher we have. On the side it says, no, you might have thought that mashkin d'chamire metamu. You might have said that mashkin, which is normally a higher level of potential of tumah, as mashkin can sometimes be able to be metamei things that a solid cannot, as we will see in Mitzvah Shem on the Omid Beis. In any event, you might have thought that this for only the mashkin, so therefore has to tell me the ochlin as well, kamash b'lan. That's when the Tosus Yishonim. So those are the first 3 gzeras. We understand them a little bit better. Now, v'haveh abar rosho v'rubo b'mayim shuvim. If a person puts the head and majority of his body into water, shuvim, and he's a tful yom, as we learned yesterday. So in this situation, he went to the mikveh, he was tummy, let's say tummy sheretz, he went to the mikveh, he has to wait till harav shemesh, till nightfall, to become tar. So after he went to the mikveh, he's tar, in regards to maaser sheni, in regards to chulin, but not in regards to truma. And now, he then goes and puts his head and most of his body into water that's drawn water, it's not mikveh water. So in this situation, the rabbi said that this tul yom is still tameh, and in fact, he'll have to go to the mikveh again. And if it's after nightfall, he has to go to the mikveh after nightfall again, because he's not tar yet at this point in time. So why would the rabbis go there, this fourth gezer over here? My time, it goes to be rabbanim tumah. So Gemara says, Amar Rabibi, Amar Ravasi. Rabibi, Amar Ravasi says, Shebetchila yutovlim b'mei ma'arus michunosin. Others have the gears over here, that it should be that they went into Ma'ara Suruchim Michunasim, that they just switched the words around in Rashi, that they went and they toveled in very, very filthy waters inside these caves. And therefore, the person came out of those waters, they were Shmutzdik. They were then put upon them water that was shuvim. On the side it says it should be saying the gears should be over here. Gimul lugim mayim. They had to put a certain amount of water, that's a significant amount of water, gimul lugim of water. They poured mayim shuvim on themselves, and as a result, they were clean. People suddenly started to say, Hischilu vasum keba. People said, hey, this is the way you go to the mikveh. You first go into the dirty mikveh, and then you clean yourself off with a shower afterwards. So therefore, Gozer leim tumah. Therefore, the rabbis didn't want this to happen, so they were gozer on them that the people who did this, if you went into the mayim shuvim over here, if you poured the mayim shuvim, the gimelugim of mayim shuvim on you, you were tameh, a rabbinical tumah. One says, what do you mean, my kava? What does it mean they established this over here? Amar Abayi, Shri Omrim, Lo Elu Matarin, because the people said over here that you have to do this, it's because it wasn't really the mikveh water in the well, in the ma'ara, that got you clean. It was both of them. It was that, plus the pouring then of the shower afterwards, the pouring the gimelugim water on you. So the people said, Shri Omrim, Lo Elu Matarin, Elu Ve'elu Matarin. You needed both. So that's why the rabbis made Xerim. So I'm really Rav. So he says, so what's the big deal? My nafkamina. So what? So let the people think that both are necessary. They're going to go to the Ma'ara. They're going to go to the spring or the well in the Ma'ara, into the proper kosher mikvah, and they take a shower afterwards. What's the big deal? Shmuel says, they're going still to the right place, Rav says. So what's the problem? So Gemara says, "Elam Rabba Shayomrim Lo Elu Matarin Ela Elu Matarin." Ah, no, they weren't saying that both were needed. They were saying that the mikveh that you went to, that was just like a preparatory thing. The real tahara was when you got clean, and therefore the rabbis were very, very concerned over here that in this situation people are going to forget about the mikveh and they're just going to pour upon themselves three lugim mayim, and therefore there were gozer over here that you pour on yourself, you're tful yom, and you pour upon yourself three lugim mayim, so then you're going to become tamei midrabanon. The fifth one, the tar shenof lua rosh over rubo shlosh lugim mayim, a regular person, a tar, not a tful yom, a regular person who also has this shlosh lugim mayim poured upon him, also the rabbis instituted a rabbinical tumah. So if you have enough lua rosh of rubo shlosh lugim mayim shuvim, the rabbis will go so that you become a sheni. Gemara says, my time goes to be a rabbanon tumah. Why did the rabbis institute that you're now a sheni over here? So Gemara says, the ilo ha, if the rabbis didn't make this gezeira, that a person who has three lugim mayim poured upon him becomes tameh, so then lo kai moha. Then if the people said, wait a second, how come when I'm tar, I don't become tameh, and if I'm a tful yom, I do become tameh, it doesn't make any sense, and they're going to just disregard the gzeira. So to say, the rabbis had to show that they mean business over here by always declaring that if you take this shower, if you have the three lugim of mayim shuvim poured upon you, you become tameh midrabanan, so therefore the people will take it seriously when they were a tful yom. Fine, that's the fifth gzeira. The sixth gezerah, the sefer. If a person touches a sefer Torah, Tosus points out over here, it's lav dafka sefer Torah. It could even be a Megillah or some other type of a parchment over here. And the Tosus brings down over here, lav dafka sefer Torah, they're all called Kisvei HaKodesh, any one of the 24 books of the Kisvei HaKodesh. So it says in the Maseches Yadayim, shemetamei nesei yadayim, that it goes and is metamei. So therefore, the sefer doesn't literally mean only a sefer Torah. So why did the rabbis go say that if you touch a sefer Torah, my tamei goes to be rabbanon tumah? Why did the rabbis say that you become tamei if you touch a sefer Torah, mid the rabbanon? So Gemara says, Amar Mesharsha, shebetchila hayu matznin es ochlin the truma eitzel sefer Torah. Because you know what the people did? they put their truma, which is holy, and they put it next to the Sefer Torah in the Aron Kodesh. V'yamru, hai kodesh, v'hai kodesh. They said both of them belong in the Aron Kodesh. And what happened? Not surprisingly, kiven the chachazu, the ka'asul de pseida, the mice had a field day. The mice said, there's all the food. And they ate the food, and they also ate the Sefer Torah. So the rabbis saw over here that by putting the truma next to the Sefer Torah, that wasn't a good idea. It was causing the destruction of the Sefer Torah. So Gazbe Rabbanim Tuma. So the rabbis institute over here that if you have a Sefer Torah and it touches something, it makes it Tuma. Oh, all of a sudden, everybody keeps the Truma far away. So therefore, in this situation, the rabbis would go there that if you touch a Sefer Torah, you become Tuma. Next one, by Yadayim. So the rabbis instituted that Stam Yadayim, plain hands, so they have a certain Tuma attached to them, like a Sheni. Where it says, why? Because your hands are going all over the place and they touch stuff. You don't realize where your hands are going all the time. Right? We're in the middle of this, Rahmanul Islam, this very difficult time with COVID-19. So people are being instructed, try not to touch with your hands, your nose, your mouth, your eyes, because you don't know where your hands have been and they may have touched something that was contaminated. So this is exactly what it means. Your hands are touching all over the place. And they may have touched something that makes them tummy. So therefore, the rabbis instituted that stam yadayim, ya yadayim askoni yosem, and therefore they're always a sheni. Furthermore, tana, af yadayim abos, machma sefer, poslos es atruma, mishum deraparnach. The rabbi said that if your hands touch a sefer, so your hands become tummy. And this is in the name of Rapanach. Obviously, this is a problem over here, because if we said the hands are always tummy, so of course they're tummy if they touch a sefer Torah. We'll get to that in a moment. What did Rapanach say? Dem Rapanach Amar Yochanan, ha'oche sefer Torah arum, nikbar arum. If somebody touches a sefer Torah with his bare hands, so then he'll be buried without clothing. What says, really? Arum? So kedaitach, why is that? What's going on over here? Why should a person be punished that he should be buried without any clothing if he touches the Sefer Torah with his hands directly as opposed to touching it with like the mantle or touching it with the gartel or touching it with your tzitzis, your talis? So why is that such a severe punishment? So Gemara says, you're right. That's talking not right. Elom Rav Zeira said, Arum below mitzvos. A person will die without having any mitzvos. Where says, really? Why should that be? Below mitzvah sokadaitach? Why should a person die and lose all of his mitzvahs? What did he do to make him lose all his mitzvahs? So where says, you're right. El ema orum below osa mitzvah. He'll die without getting credit for that mitzvah that he's doing at the time that he's touching the Sefer Torah. Tosus at the bottom, Tosus points out, for example, im ochazo lilmod, if he's holding on to the bare Sefer Torah with his bare hands, so then if he's learning from it, he won't get the schar for learning from it. If he's doing hagbo galila with the Sefer Torah and he touches the actual parchment of the Sefer Torah, he won't get the credit over here. He won't get the schar for the hagbo or the galila that he's doing. When the Gemara refers to galila, it actually means Hagba. In any event, halacha lemaisa, people point out that you're not supposed to touch the Sefer Torah with your hands. That's why we always kiss it with a talis or with a gartel. But the halacha, you're allowed to go and touch the yadayim of the Sefer Torah. The Magen Avraham and the Bach do bring down a stricter opinion, says you can't touch that with your hands, you should hold it with the talis. But they bring down that since most people aren't knowing like that, if you're the only one in the shul that's knowing like that, it's mechsik yor. You look like an arrogant person, say, oh, I'm such a big tzaddik over here that I don't even touch the yad. The handles of the Sefer Torah. So, lemaisa, we don't touch the parchment, but one can touch the yadayim of the Sefer Torah, unless everybody doesn't touch the yadayim. Okay, so now the Gemara asks a question. Hai gozu bereisha, which one of these enactments was created first? We said that you're not allowed to touch the Sefer Torah, and we also said that the yadayim are considered to always be shnios. So, which one came first? The Gemara says, ilei mo ha gozu bereisha, if you're telling me over here that the Gezeru was first on the hands, and only afterwards, if you touch a Sefer Torah, that's when you become Tomei. Return to the Yom Beis. So Gemara says, Kevin, the Hach Gozu Bereisha, Hasu Lomeli. So wait a second, once your hands are always Tomei, so why would you make Gezeru to say, if your hands touch the Sefer Torah, they become Tomei? They're always Tomei. Tosus has a Havi meaning to say that you might have thought that if your hands were tar, you just washed them, and then you touch the Sefer Torah, so that's why that you need that additional Gezeru over here, but Tosus says that's not Shriach, and that can't be. So therefore, Ella, Hach Gozu Bereisha, it must be that first day it goes there that if your hands touch the Sefer Torah, that your hands are Shniyim, Latuma. And then, Vahad Gozu Bechulu Yadayim. Then they said, Stam Yadayim Eskoni Yosem, all the hands are always going to be Tomei. That's the order. The next one of the 10 Gezeros that we learned in yesterday's Shir, that were learned in the attic of Hananiah ben Chizkiya, was Vitul Yom. If a Tul Yom touches something, so the person becomes a Sheni. Midrabbanan, where it says, no, that's not true. Tuyom daraisaho. If a tuyom touches something, so then midaraisa, that's tame. If the tuyom touches over here the truma, so he's posel midaraisa. He's not going to go and make it posel omidrabbanan. Where do we know this from? The pasuk says, "Dechsev ubar shem yishu taher." So the pasuk says that the tul yom only becomes tar at nightfall. Until then, he's still tamei in regards to truma. So it's a daraisa that he's posel the truma, not midrabbanan. Someone says, "You're right, Taka. Same mikan tul yom. Remove from here tul yom." Tosus points out, it doesn't mean you remove it from the din. The din is correct. Ella, we remove it from one of the 18 things that we're saying were nigzar dirabbanan in the attic of Hananya ben Chizkiah. Next one is, we said, va'ochlin shenitmu b'mashkin, if you have food that became tameh from liquids. So that food, we give it the status over here of being able to be posel truma as well. In other words, that food acts like a sheni. Where it says, b'mashkin demai, what type of mashkin are we talking about over here that was tameh the food? Ilema b'mashkin haboyin machmer sheretz, if you're talking about mashkin that came into touch with the sheretz, so then on a Doraisa level, if you come into touch with the sheretz, you're a rishon. So these mashkim are a rishon. So of course they're going to make a food a sheni midaraisa, and of course that food is going to make the truma a shlishi. So daraisa ninu, that's a din daraisa. They'll see v'chol mashke asher yishoseh. So something that is a potable liquid, so then if it comes into contact with the sheretz, it becomes in fact a rishon. So Gemara says, you're right, that's not correct. What type of mashkin are we talking about over here? That Oakland that came in touch with this mashkin becomes a sheni? Ela b'mashkin haboy machmas yodayim. This mashkin came into touch with yodayim, which are a din derabanan. And midrabanan, we made that mashkin into a rishon, and now when it touches the food, it's midrabanan into a sheni, which will make the truma midrabanan into a shlishi. It's posel the truma. And this is all gzeru. Gzeru, mishum mashkin haboy machmas sheretz. And the rabbis instituted over here this gzeru because of liquids, in fact, that become tameh from a sheretz, they're tameh midaraisa. So the rabbis made exerovia that the liquids that come into contact with your hands also become a rishon, just like the pattern of liquids touching a sheretz are a rishon midaraisa. So to liquids touching your hands are a rishon midarabanan. The next scary was vakelim shenitmu b'mashkin. If you have utensils over here, kelim that became tameh from mashkin. So the Gemara asks, what type are we talking about? Kelim did b'mashkin. Demai. What type of mashkin was matami these kelim? Ilema b'mashkim dezov. If we're talking over here about mashkim of a zov, so a zov has certain liquids that come out of the zov. The zov is an avatuma, and the liquids that come out of him are also an avatuma. So Gemara says, daraisa ninu. That is a din daraisa. The pasuk says, v'chiorok hazov b'tahar. If a zov were to spit onto a tahar person, so that tahar person, even if he carries the roke of the zov on his clothing, even if he doesn't actually touch it, he just carries it. So the pasuk says, masha biyad tahar, tamei silach. So whatever's on you, it becomes tamei. So therefore, this is a din daraisa, that this mashkin over here can be metame kalim. Tamar says, you're right. Ela b'mashkin haboy machma sheretz. We're talking here about mashkin that come from a sheretz. And exera mishum mashkin dissolve. And this is exera over here. These mashkin that come from a sheretz, they are able to be metame over here, food on a deraisa level. But they don't have the ability to be metame kalim over here on a deraisa level. And therefore, the mashkin of a zav do have the ability to be tamei kelim because they're like an avatuma, but the mashkin of a sheretz don't have the ability to be tamei kelim. So that's the gzeir over here that the rabbis instituted, that mashkin of the sheretz over here can be considered a gzeir over here to the mashkin of a zav. That's what the Gemara means when it says gzeir mishum mashkin the zav. Finally, we now go back and question what we said before about the yadayim. We had said we finished now the 10 gzeiros, but we go back and question. We said the yadayim. Was that, in fact, a machlokus over here, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? That was actually not a machlokus of Talmidei Shammai and Talmidei Hillel. Ella, it was a machlokus of Shammai and Hillel. And that's what the Gemara says. V'yadayim, Talmidei Shammai v'Hillel gozer? Is that one of the 18 gezeros over here that Beis Shammai said is Metame and Beis Hillel disagreed with them? So, Shammai v'Hillel gozer, that was actually a machlokus of Shammai and Hillel. The Tanya, where do we see this? When it says in the Brice, so Yossi ben Yoezer, Yisrei, Dov Yossi ben Yochanan, and Ishu Shlayim, these two famous Tanoim are famous, of course, for being in Pirkei Avos. And they made several gezeros, and one of the gezeros that they made was gozru tuma al Eretz Amim. One of the gezeros they made was they were gozer tuma on Eretz Amim. What is this? The Rashi tells us, the Rashi is all the way at the bottom, about 10 lines up from the bottom in the Rashi's. Mishum sofek kvaros shalahen. Rashi tells us over here that it's a sofek over here, the goyim, they didn't necessarily demarcate always where their bodies were buried. And Rashi says over here that the body of a goy is matami b'mago b'masa v'ohel. The last one is actually a machlokas. Rashi over here seems to say that it's matami with all of these fashions. Maga by touch, masa by carrying, ohel by putting yourself over it or having it over you or being in the same room as it. L'Rabbanon, according to the Rabbanon, or Rav Shimon Nami, the Amar, ain't metam bo'ol, that's the machlokas. Rav Shimon says it's not metam bo'ol, metam at least, but ma'agav masa, bereket, but also if there's what we call corpse dust, if there's a certain amount of the corpse that's decayed into dust, so it's also metame. So the bottom line is, since the graves in Chutz Laaretz were all over the place, there was the rabbis instituted over here, these great Tanaim instituted that there would be metame with the dirt of Chutz Laaretz, even in Eretz Yisrael, if you brought the dirt there, but certainly in Chutz Laaretz. That's why Kohanim would often not leave Eretz Yisrael, because they would be become metame over there in Chutz Laaretz. So that's the opinion over here of Yossi ben Yoazer and Yossi ben Yochanan. In addition, they also made another gzera, Valklei Zuchuchis. They instituted that glassware, which is not mentioned in the Torah, can also become Tomei, can accept Tumah. So those were the first two gezeres. Then the name Shimon ben Shetach, he was Mesakein and Tikein Kesuvah Isha. He enacted that a woman can collect her Ksuba from any properties of her husband. Before this enactment, so a woman was entitled to her Ksuba, but it was usually a designated property. And Rahman al-Sanat, the husband and wife got into a fight, the husband didn't really lose anything because he didn't have that property. He knew that property was going to his wife. She said, get out of here, you're divorced, and you take your property with you. So now, Shimon Shetach came along in order to make Shalom Bayis, in order to make divorces a little bit more difficult, in order to protect the woman. So he went and said that, no, she can take whichever property she wants to collect the Ksuba. Oh, now the man suddenly is a little bit more careful about wanting to just divorce his wife willy-nilly. So that was one gezeira that Shimon Shetach made, and v'gaza tumah kli matkos, and he also instituted tumah on metal utensils. Now, some of you might be scratching your head at this point and say, but midaraisa metal utensils. Okay, glass utensils, they're not found daraisa. But metal utensils are, so mitzvah Shem, in a couple of days, we'll get to that gemara, we'll discuss what exactly this gezeira of Shimon Shetach was. Rashi says, wait till we get there, and we'll learn about it over there. In any event, then Shammai v'Hillel, that's why this is brought in over here, this price is brought in over here to teach us about Shammai and Hillel. They were Gozru Tumah al Yadayim. They were the ones that made this gezeira of Tumah al Hayadayim. So how can you tell me that it was Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel that were arguing about this? So the Gemara says, Nu v'chitema Shammai v'siyato, the Hillel v'siyato. If you want to tell me that it wasn't just Hillel and Shammai, it was Hillel and Beis Hillel, and Shammai and Beis Shammai, but that's not true. But Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Yud Ches Dover Gozru, there were 18 things that we listed over here in the attic of Hananya b'Chizkiah, Ube Yud Ches Nechleku, and they argued Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel on all 18. As opposed to, however, the Rabbeim, Hillel and Shammai, Hillel and Shammai, Lo Nechleku El Begimu Mekomos, they only argued in three places. As the Gemara continues and says, the Hillel and Shammai, Lo Nechleku El Begimu Mekomos, the Omer of Huna, as we see from Huna, the Gimu Mekomos Nechleku Visu Lo. Only in three places, not 18 places, only three places Hillel and Shammai argue. So you can't say that the 18 places, which talks about Yadayim, is talking about Hillel Visiyato and Shammai Visiyato. I can tell me also inu gozer lislos that when Hillel and Shammai originally made the gzera and they said it's tamei, so they didn't possibly, it's definitely tamei. They said it's like maybe tamei, and therefore you can't burn the truma, but you're not allowed to go and use the truma, so you leave it in limbo. That's lislos. And later on, v'yasu tamidayu. Afterwards, Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai came the gozer lisrof. Then they said no, you have to go and burn this truma over here. So maybe that's what the argument was. So really it was Hillel and Shammai and Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. That's not true. Where it says, V'arma ilfa yadayim techilas gzeiros l'sreipa. When the initial gzeira of yadayim was made, it wasn't lislos. It wasn't that you hold it in limbo, but you can go burn it. It's vadai, the rabbis made it, tummy over here, and you go burn it right away. You don't have to wait until it spoils. That's what lislos means. You can't go burn it, but you can't go eat it, so you have to wait till it spoils. So you know, they said you can burn it right away. All the other gezeros, they said, is lislos. But this one, l'chatchila, Hillel and Shammai said, it's lisreifa. So again, we're stuck. How can you tell me that Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, that was one of the 18 gezeros that they argued about, are the Yadayim tamei or not? It was a much earlier gezera. It was from Hillel and Shammai. So Mor says, you're right. Elo asu inu gozer. Originally, Hillel and Shammai, they did make this gezera. But nobody could accept it. And only later on, we also Tamidayu, later on, the Tamidim Beis Hillel, the Tamidim Beis Shammai, Gozru v'Kivlu Minayu, then it was accepted. So therefore, it was Hillel and Shammai, but it was also Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Gemara still questions this and says, Vakati Shlomo Gozar. Wait a second, there was an early exer about the Yadayim, that the Yadayim should be Tmeos. That was from Shlomo HaMelech, way before Hillel and Shammai, and way, way before Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Where is this? Yomer Yehuda Meshmuel, Yehuda said name Meshmuel, Bishar Shetikin Shlomo Erevin. When the time came that Shlomo HaMelech was misaking the concept of Erevin, These are all dinim derabbanim. Either rice you're allowed to go carry in these areas from one rishus hayochid to another rishus hayochid, from one courtyard to another courtyard. And along came Shlomo HaMelech and said, no, we want to make a distinction over here between two privately owned courtyards. Unless you make an eruv chatzeros, you can't go and carry from one private courtyard to another, from one backyard to another. So he made that gzera, and at the same time it says he also made v'netilas yadayim. So at that moment, we see that Shlomo HaMelech was the one that was misaki, that the hands become tummy and you have to do netilas yadayim. And at that moment, Yotzta Basko of Yom, Basko came out from Shemayim at that moment in time and said, Bini, im chocham libecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to Shlomo HaMelech, if you're a wise person, yismach libi gamoni, I'll also be happy, so to say. If you do the smart thing, I'll be happy. Chacham bini v'samach libi, if you're very smart, and you make me happy, so to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, v'ashiva charfi dover, and this way, we will go and be able to give back, and give somebody who's trying to be charfi dover, who's trying to do something wrong and incorrect, and trying to make us look bad. Bottom line is, we see that it was actually Shlomo HaMelech who made the gzeira of Yadayim. So Gemara says, also Shlomo came, returned to the Omer Aleph, and Gazel Kachim. Shlomo made this up originally for the idea that you have to wash your hands. It was only when you're dealing with Kachim. And then the Asu Inu, along came Hillel and Shammai, the Gazer Afla Truma, and they made the gzeira also for Truma. But that original gzeira wasn't accepted when Hillel and Shammai made it, and only subsequently later on was it accepted by the Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. With that, we conclude today's shir.